So I ask you again, are you nervous about seeing Fred and I in person?
No, I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous. I'm
what?
I'm anticipating.
No,
I'm not nervous.
No. Anticipation. Hey. Are you going to be nervous?
I'll be a bit nervous.
What if, Phil, because you've only seen Fred and I basically from the sort of middle of our bodies upwards. What if when you see Fred and I in person, we have like comically large asses?
Right.
Like from the cartoons.
Can we talk like adults now?
Okay, sure.
That thing,
you start.
Where I hear you loud in my earphones, and then sometimes it goes, I don't hear you as well. What is it you're doing there? Or what
I'm not doing
there?
Anything. Although, we're about to experience the microphone crashing for the first time here today. I'm not doing anything, man.
Yeah, but sometimes in my headset, like, I hear you nice, loud, and clear, and then when the show starts, then it goes, like, a bit distance. Didn't you say there was a button or the there was something you switch at the end or something? Or?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Okay. I shouldn't have brought that up now. How dare me?
No, you see, now I've switched to a different microphone. Does this sound better for you?
Yep.
It does?
No, I'm asking Fred. Does it sound better to you?
Yeah, but it's not the volume thing. That it's a traditional thing that I've never really brought up.
Oh, okay. Ow.
From what I remember, Zoom compresses, you know, mic audio randomly. Like, this is a Tascam, so I sound much worse on Zoom compared to if I would just record it myself.
Well, all I know is, you know, we sat here for 20 minutes, and the original microphone I was going to use, which was this one, you know, just kind of crapped out again. And now it's back. And then I spent a lot of time this morning with Dan. You know, we reset everything, and it didn't seem to make any difference. Anyway, this is the show. And if it happens again, I'll just keep changing microphone. You know. All right. So can we go back to talking like idiots again, or do we have to be grown-ups?
No, idiots is good.
Okay. Phil.
Morning, Liz.
Morning, Liz.
Sorry.
Is Liz nervous about seeing us again in person?
She's nervous just seeing you guys because all those flare pants, you know, the pants with the flares on the bottom.
Yeah, what is that? Is there a new fashion trend that I'm not going to care about where women, some men, are wearing flared pants again? Is that going to be a thing? Because I'll tell you right now, I'm not getting back on board that. I'm not.
Might be a thing. Yeah.
Probably 6, 7, I don't know how many years ago, at Costco one day they had these jeans on called Lone Star or something. And I thought, hey, they're not bad. There was blue jeans and black jeans. So I bought, they were like $20 each. I thought, you know, I'm going to buy those for kicking around. So they've been up here at the trailer for a couple of years or a few years. And I thought, you know, whenever I need something for just kicking around, I'll wear these pants. But they're really uncomfortable. Like, they seem to ride down your ass all the time. Like, just weird fit. So yesterday, for the first time in a couple of years, I put a pair on because I was doing some stuff around here. And they were so freaking uncomfortable that I've got them just here in the corner. And both pair are going in the garbage dump today. Both pair. Like, I don't even want to look at them. Because you forget over time, right, how uncomfortable they are. And then you put them on and you go through the same experience. Well, I don't want to experience it again.
Yeah.
So they're going in the garbage. I'm not even going to give them to the, you know, the unfortunate. I'm going to throw them out. I wouldn't want an unfortunate person to actually have to wear these.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. Yeah. Now both microphones are not working at all.
Oh, and my computer's frozen.
So, I don't know why, you know, why I can't. This is really, really, really something. It's not the microphone. It's not the cable. It's just intermittently, this thing starts to go away. Phil, are you going to be okay?
Phil said, I'm frozen, but he wasn't frozen. He wasn't, said, I'm frozen, and now he's frozen because he went away.
You know what would be great? We should just keep that. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can screen cap that quickly. Here we go. Hold on. There we go. just, you know, when he's not here on those Mondays, we should just have this.
Right.
Okay, now he's gone. So I don't know what to tell you. I'm trying to have a different attitude about it today because yesterday I got really frustrated and admittedly slammed the microphone several times.
And, slammed it.
Well, I was well, you know, much like a colleague of mine.
Who?
Yourself.
What? I've never slammed a microphone.
No, but you've slammed the table when something's not working. You know. Oh, you don't remember those times?
Can't recall.
Yeah, you can't recall. All right. Hey, Phil, you want to see the picture of your of what you look like there?
Well, yeah, I do know what I look like.
No, this is fantastic, this little screen cap here. Hang on. There we go. There it is. You see that, Philly?
Oh, great. Now folks are going to Photoshop things into my mouth.
Right? Yes, they are, Phil. Oh, hey, because you got a pretty mouth.
That's Chairman Mao just ready for action.
That's right.
You know, I browse on Toronto Mike's website, and then suddenly the computer crashes into a blue screen of death. I'm like, I don't know what happened.
Phil. Feels
I
like
must
that.
Not be allowed to
Feels like that Creed song, with mouth wide open. Phil, do you want to start the show already? Okay, because all this pre-show stuff. All right, I think this mic's about to go again. Here we go, Phil. Boom, boom. Here comes Phil.
The following episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, and our newest sponsor, Doer, D-U-E-R, the official sponsor of Humble and Fred's 10th anniversary podcast. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, we have a Patreon account. And now for the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Yeah, could you do me a favor? Do me a favor. Oh, is this even there?
Oh, there we go. Can you do me a favor, Phil? Can you just change sponsor to presenter? Because you say sponsor there twice in that intro. It would just be better if you said, and Endure, the presenting sponsor of the Humble and Fred Show. That type of thing. Well, I don't know what to tell you, but...
But what?
How about this sound? I'm not sure if we should keep pressing on or, you know. Phil, did you normalize it in the post-production yesterday? It sounded a little bit better.
Yes, it does. It sounded louder.
But you still sounded like a Coney Island baby.
Like a what?
Like a Coney Island baby.
Anyway, I'm going to be honest with you. I just find it distracting, obviously. And there's a lot to take on. Oh, now Dan wants me to do this. Okay. Okay. So now, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Great. Very loud in my ears. Yes.
Yeah, I know what it was. It was the... So one of my friends was watching the show yesterday. He's a fan of the show. And we're playing golf today. And we've got like kind of a little match going on, like a little fun match for, you know, some money. And so here he is telling in this group chat, he's saying, hey, we're going to be taking Howard and his partner down on Wednesday for sure. All we have to do is remind Howard about his mic not working on today's show, and he will snap like he did on like he did this morning. And then he goes on to tell everyone he ripped the mic off the stand and threw it at the wall, then repeatedly punched the wall until he was out of breath.
Did you?
No, but it was a good description. No, I got frustrated finally, and I just, because Dan was telling me, or you were telling me, to smack the microphone, so I was doing that to see if it, you know, was some loose connection, and then I got frustrated, and I just smacked that shit, you know? I smack it. Anyway, But you can imagine it's very frustrating because I'm, you know, I've got you, I've got Phil, I've got the show, I've got computers, I've got sponsors. Speaking of sponsors, you know, I was thinking about that story you just told us. And I'm surprised. I thought where you were heading with your story of incredibly uncomfortable pants, I thought, you know, here's a perfect opportunity for one of the stars of the show to go, those pants are uncomfortable, but these Dewar pants that we're wearing, I'm wearing my Dewar jeans right now, bro. They are the opposite of those pants. They're the world's most comfortable pants.
Funny you say that, because I was actually going there, but just the response I was getting from my story from you guys, I thought it was boring you, so I thought I would just, you know, let it go. But I was going there. I was going there, saying, well, like, once you put on the Dewars,
yeah,
it's not fair to other pants. It just isn't fair to other pants, because the Dewar, right, are so comfortable, and so... Would you call them, like, leading edge, cutting edge? Like, just the design and the look and the comfort is something else. So if you have a pair of pants that anything but comfortable, the comparison is, well, it makes you want to throw them in the trash.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing today. This is it. Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you, okay.
Yeah.
Now you're... level is being affected by it, your and my microphone's gone. I think we should just, you know what, honestly, just scrap the show today. I'm serious. We should. Because my microphone's going out, yours is going out now.
Remember, how is mine going out?
Because it's the levels are going up and down, like while you were just talking. Oh, by the way, the reason I didn't respond to your story, which I thought was fascinating, is because I'm... No, I did. I did think it was fascinating.
Really?
I did. When you were telling me about... I can tell you everything you said in that story. Your pants were uncomfortable. You got them at Costco. I had made you think about pants because I was talking about flare pants. And then you were telling me about how uncomfortable your pants are. Hang on, changing microphones. Let's see if this one works. Okay, that one works. Dan, you explain to me how one input works sometimes and the other one doesn't, and Fred's input is now going in and out. Anyway, while you were telling me, and I'm serious, we in five more minutes of this, and then I just want to call the whole thing off. Because it's just too weird that you're now, Dan, Fred's levels are going in and out anyway. So when you were talking about this story, this fascinating story of your pants, I was also distracted by the fact that your sound wasn't working.
You wanted to take the equipment and throw it in the trash.
Yeah, we can't do this, Freddie. The machine's not working.
Even me now?
Just now, yeah. Well, and look, can you not hear my mic going out again? It doesn't matter if I change. Look, does anyone not hear this? Can you hear it?
You sound tinny.
Yeah.
I can't really hear myself.
No, and then Dan, I change back to the other microphone, and it works for a few seconds, and then it starts to sound tinny. Let's just shut it down.
Well, what about Peter Mansbridge?
Well, we'll have to reschedule Peter, because honestly, it's... Or, you know, I wish there was a solution. I wish I could go downstairs and get a different microphone and we could solve this. But what happens is I change microphones and I've got them on different inputs. And then as soon as it starts to go, I'll change to the other microphone and it seems to work for a few seconds. So, and we also have the Sherpa. All right. Well,
how does it sound to you right now?
Well, when it
sounds great,
yeah, and until it doesn't, and in the next 60 seconds, it's going to go again, and then is this the content of our podcast for the next 2 hours? I don't know. It just seems like, you know, that table stakes for listening to our show is that the microphone should work, and this little P8 thing that we bought for do the job of that other board. Well, you know, obviously there's something faulty in it. Let's just get another one. That's all.
Seems odd that something like that would go so quick, you know?
Yep. And here it goes again, kids. Hey, everyone. It's Humble Howard from the 1940s. Anyway.
Call Geets.
That was funny, eh? The old days. Here, hey, everyone. There I am again. I should just go with it. Hey, everybody. Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal. But just watch. I'm going to change microphones because this one sounds like shit. And I'll go to this microphone, and it works for a few seconds. Now, you tell me why.
Oh, Howard, it's beyond me.
Yeah, I know.
Call Geets.
That was for you people who don't know what we're talking about, which is, you know, most people at this point. And again, and let me just apologize to the Hundy Peas. I can't describe what this would be like. It would be like being a cab driver or an Uber driver, and just every few seconds your car just starts lurching one way or the other without your ability to control it. And so I apologize for this interruption in service. Let's see what Dan Duran has to say. Not that bad. Carry on, says Dan. You know, Dan. The original just carry on guy. All right.
Well, remember, you know what they say. The show must go on. Have you heard that before? And again, I don't know what to say. Am I... At some point, we got to stop talking about it and do the show or not do the show.
Yeah.
Because those listening will become quickly.
I'm quickly finished with it. You know, anyway.
Those listening at some point are going to go, okay, enough, you know, well, shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, I think we should just stop. This should just, there. I'm back to the 1940s, yeah. And we should just stop the show.
Oh, how about that new invention? Apparently you can microwave things.
Yes. And that's the aggravating thing. Phil sounds fine to me.
And you sound fine. No, everything. No, you sound fantastic.
Yeah.
Phil was speaking into, you know, I don't even know what Phil is speaking into, but it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's a $100 device.
Yeah. I know.
Well, if I'm starting to screw up now, too, like that's obviously something's getting worse.
I don't hear anything worse there, Fred. No, you're fine.
But Fred,
well, Howard said.
The level, that pot, that level.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma, I heard the Chinese are opening the doors to phone lines.
You know, I tell you the truth, I was really ready for a great show today.
You know,
great show.
So was I. You know, I watched the first episode of The Problem with Jon Stewart. It was just so good. So good.
And where do you, what is that? Where do you get it?
Apple TV.
Uh-oh.
But it was about burn pits in Iraq. Basically, it's about how shitty the United States of America treats their veterans. And I know we have problems up here, too, but the subject matter was the United States, you know, land, you know, glorious, the greatest fighting force in the world, and we support our troops, and how they just treat them like shit as soon as they get home, and they can't wait. You know, it's the whole idea is just delay, and hope they die, so you don't have to pay for them. But they had these burn pits in Iraq where they would burn everything. Just garbage, human feces, like put them in the pits and burn in this black smoke. And these guys for years are breathing it in and then get sick. And then at one point, Stewart goes and talks to a big army guy, you know, and he's sort of passing the buck and not admitting things and saying, you know, they've got to determine, like, without a doubt, that's what caused these illnesses. And just disgusting. Just another one of those things where you're sitting there going, oh, yeah, the greatest country on earth.
Yeah, not bullshit. Even close. You know, it's so funny, too, because all those firemen and fire women, fire people, all those frontline, no, what were they called there? Early responders, first responders. Frontline workers, that's COVID. Okay, sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to get my disasters mixed up. But those early responders, first responders in 9/11 that are now having all these cancers from breathing in whatever the fuck was burning. Oh, no, I know. The whole thing is, you know, you want to talk about House of Cards? That is America. It's a House of Cards. Okay.
But there, yeah, it's But to look in the faces of these people that went, you know, to, well, Iraq, were they defending their country? Whatever they were doing over there, they went, sent by these people. And these very people that sent them now want to deny that their problems are a direct result of what they went through over there. It's disgusting because, you know, and the point is made, you know, when a congressman or a senator gets ill, they're looked after.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They get the best treatment that money can buy.
The great Trump, that's what I'm going to start calling him. The great Trump, during his actual presidency, not this phantom presidency. That's another thing I want to talk about at some point. He is thinking, well, to his people, he's still president. And as, you know, exhibited by his behavior recently, he's just starting to rally up again. Have you noticed that? There are all these, you know, Trump rallies and this convention that's coming up. Anyway, the great Trump during his presidency espoused all this. No one's done more for veteran affairs than I have. And it's all just the sad thing is, wouldn't it have been great if he had? Mm-hmm. But it's all just smoke and mirrors.
And all of them, they're all, you know, it was better, no better under Obama. There was a lot of talk. And you know, Trump coming back, like, you know, you look like at a guy like Mike Pence, and you want to say, like, really? Are you that spineless, you jellyfish bastard? See what he said yesterday?
Oh, yeah, he says it's time for us to forget about January 6th, you know, where they were calling for me to be lynched.
No, he said it was just one day. It was just one day in January, and now the media is blowing it out of proportion.
Oh, are we?
While gallows were being built. So this guy is such a weasel. He's willing to say those things against the media, against even the general public who thinks that that was a horrible day, just because he wants to stay in line for something. If Trump doesn't run, he'll run for president. If Trump does run, you know, he's still got to stay on that side. Like, it's pathetic. One day in January, he said.
Yeah, and what that does is it continues to... I'm going to use this big word, but it can promote or propagate or whatever that propagate, whatever that word is. But it continues to make it seem like all the, like if you had a ledger where on one side is what we know to be the truth according to, you know, what we all saw that day, and the truth according to the MAGA group. What him saying that does, it just gives you another sort of tick in the ledger on the right side or whatever, that conservative side, that they go, oh, see, even Mike Pence doesn't think we should be dwelling on that day. Mm-hmm. So what that does is it casts shadows and doubts on all the things that they're trying to do. Like, for instance, the January 6th commission. You know, 3,000 people were killed on 9/11. There were months and months and years of investigation. A lot of it was bullshit, but at least they convened a committee and they investigated it. Anyway.
It's what kind of men are they? They're not men. Like, what are they? They're just despicable human beings. To blatantly put Donald Trump ahead of your country, because that's all he's doing. He's running scared. He wants to stay on the right side of Trumpers in case Trump doesn't run. And if Trump does run, you know, he wants to hold on to whatever he wants to hold on to within the party. It's really despicable. And, like, how do they live with themselves?
You know, another way of looking at it, rather than call them voters or constituents, if you use the word customer instead, it actually describes what they are. They don't want to upset their customer base, because what they're doing, they're not running the country in the way that you or I would think. They're there for the common good, whether it's veteran affairs or frontline workers or first responders. What they're there for is to continue to have somebody to sell to. Because at the end of it all, not at the end of the day, a lot of what's going on in the MAGA world is selling. Like, a lot of, I was listening to Stern last week, a few of these right-wing radio guys that were anti-vaxxers that died. And I love when Stern does this. Like, he just goes through the whole thing and he plays clips of them talking about, you know, don't take the vaccine. But all of them are selling something. You know, they're selling a magic elixir. They're selling a potion. They're not just doing it because they think they're on the side of the actual right. They think they're on the side of something that will make them money.
Yeah, that's the sad thing. It really is. And to see so many of them, to see one man control an entire party in the most powerful nation on earth, it's like something you couldn't imagine.
Well, I disagree. You can't imagine it. Because...
Yeah, I guess.
No,
yeah.
You know, and that's why when Trump was at the height, well, no, he's when all this started, because I think he hasn't even reached the height of a lunacy. And my older brother has a much better way of explaining all this, as he was telling me some stuff the last couple of days. I wish I could repeat, but I'm not as smart as he is. Anyway, one of the things that, you know, this is what happened in 30s Germany, is that there were a lot of people that wanted to, that sort of just held their nose and bit their tongues, thinking, well, I might as well, you know, throw in with this lunatic, because, you know, that will get me what I want, which is more money, more power. And they weren't for the good of Germany. They were for the good of themselves, until it went so far that even, you know, it just went too far, obviously. But yeah, I mean, you've seen it all before.
When you mention that, too, you know, I'm always uncomfortable, as I've told you, with the Nazi Germany comparisons. Like, the end result of this couldn't be some level of genocide, could it? Because that's why. It's like, you make those comparisons, 6 million people died. I mean,
more, you know, million Jews, but like 20 million people.
Okay. Could that be at the end of this journey?
No, but because that can't happen again. But what could happen again is that Donald Trump gets, you know, it turns into an oligarchy. It turns into, mm-hmm. you know, like, think about what they're doing. All these attorney generals and whatever mm-hmm. they're doing. Is it attorney generals in all these states?
Mm-hmm.
All the courts have been, you know, mm-hmm.
rigged.
The Supreme Court now is conservative. All that stuff has gone into setting the table, if you will, for a conservative. It's not a democracy anymore. They're going to have this guy in charge. And it's going to be a sort of a dictatorship, because as I've been reading in my new Donald Trump book, Peril, this time around, he is not going to take a chance that there will be anyone around him, whether it's the Secretary of State or the Joint Chiefs of Staff guy. None of those people are going to be non-Trumpers this time. They're all going to be in line. And that's going to make a very dangerous place to live, America.
No, it really, and it gets back to not putting your country first. Which, you know, all the American bullshit, and all this over the top patriotism.
Was that? That's all bullshit, man.
I know it is. That's what I'm saying. Just over the top patriotism. And now, you know, when the rubber hits the road here, it's like it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
This country is way more, the average Canadian, way more patriotic than the average American, because half of America is eating this shit. Like, what about your country?
Well, you think about it. The propaganda began 100 years ago, but it's baked into the culture. You know, we have the best. Our people are the best. Our best are best. But meanwhile, all you have to Google is even a cursory search of standard of living would show you that America is not the best in almost anything.
No, it isn't.
Well, I'll tell you what they are the best in. They're the best in telling each other how best they are.
I see this week's guest on Smartless is Jeff Daniels, and whenever I think of Jeff Daniels or see him, I think of that. What was the show?
It was called the Newsroom.
Newsroom. Why America Isn't Great.
Newsroom.
And
Yeah.
And I just wonder, you know, how many of these bullshit patriotic Fox News creeps, you know, even though that was just a TV show.
Yeah.
All that stuff was fact.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know.
What they think when they hear that.
Yeah, for you.
Because it was brilliant.
Yeah, for you people who don't know the reference, you've probably heard of it.
I'm a sophomore, and this is for all three of you. Can you say in one sentence or less what, you know what I mean? Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
So that's a there. So diversity. Jeff Daniels' character is on a panel. And when it comes time for him to answer it.
Freedom.
So here he is answering the question.
Without answering the question.
Genius, the Declaration of Independence is for me the single.
Sorry, I'm just going to get to this. Hang on.
It's not the greatest country in the world, Professor. That's my answer.
There it is. Here we go.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about
fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her column inches.
Hey,
and with this freedom, a freedom.
All right. Anyway, go look it up yourself. I can't get it. Sorry about that.
No, it is. It's. I just love that, and that's. How many years old now before all this horror started?
and one of the first comments on this video says, this is what every person outside the USA thinks when the USA says they're the best.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I wish I could get it for you all. But you go, just look it up. Newsroom, America is not the greatest country in the world anymore. Okay, you know what is the greatest?
If I may, just before we move on here.
Yeah, of course. I don't have a microphone that works, so you talk.
You know, back to Jon Stewart.
Yes.
What a special, special man he is. What he's done for the 9/11 survivors.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got quite a bit done for them. And now, this first episode of The Problem, just the way he handles it, and he's sort of bringing it to the forefront. You know, and he has this cool way of presenting it. Without getting freaked out and pissed off. And, you know, he's just such a logical, analytical guy that those who try to push back against the obvious, he makes them look like imbeciles. And he really deserves a lot of credit. I mean, he doesn't need to be doing that.
No, not at all.
There's a great American for you.
Yeah. And so, again, before we get off this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm doing here, though? Like, every 30 seconds, I'm changing microphones.
Changing mics.
Okay. So, you know, if I'm a little slow this morning, it's because of that. Jon Stewart's show, once again, is called...
The Problem.
The Problem. You can also hear Jon Stewart on a recent episode of Smartless. I've now gone back and listened to it. It's very, very good. I said last week I found him a bit prickly at the start, but it was, you know, it just took him a while to get warmed up. Jeff Daniels, I started listening to, I guess, a couple nights ago and fell asleep, so I'll go back and listen to it again. But the boys are very respectful and enamored of Jeff Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest with you, one of my favorite parts of the show is when they're bantering before the guest and how excited they all get when the guest comes on. Because if you look at the podcast, the description tells us who the guest is. So we know that going in, which I like. I like knowing, like, oh, these guys are going to... I wonder what they're going to say about Jeff Daniels or George Clooney or, you know, Zach Galifianakis. And so I like that. I like that sort of beginning. Sometimes I start to fall asleep, you know, 10 or 15 minutes in, but...
Well, they're all pretty light interviews.
Yeah, exactly.
Like even with Jon Stewart, I mean, there was a little bit of politics, but when the fellas of Smartless, if it gets too political, they immediately steer it the other way.
Yeah, they get pretty silly.
Yeah, I get it. I don't think they want to alienate anyone, and that's not what they're there for, and it's not what their show is about.
And if I may just jump in, too, that's not what the three of those guys are about.
No, exactly. So, I mean, the interviews are more fun, and then Will Arnett, he's just so funny. It's crazy.
No, he's very quick.
Very quick, very funny. And one other thing. I watched some of this, not a lot to say, but I watched some of that testimony yesterday, that Frances Hogan from Facebook, the whistleblower.
The woman from 60 Minutes.
Just unbelievable, too. I mean, there is another person that really, she not only is she an American hero, she's a world hero. What she exposed yesterday, you know, no coincidence that Facebook and Instagram went down.
That's what I said.
No, I know. And it's almost like, you know, and the power that this Zuckerberg has, and it's all on his lap. He's got to live with this. And
yeah, but you know,
it can't be easy.
Well, no, it can't be easy. And he would tell you that, you know, that it's like, I don't know. There's, we know what, let's stop now. There's Peter Mansbridge. We got him a bit early. So was cool. Were we supposed to have him at 8 o'clock or at, 8:05. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's not mention any microphone issues.
No.
Phil.
No.
Howard, you're in a press conference today.
All right.
Multiple microphones.
Our Geeks Guy guest of the day today is going to be Peter Mansbridge, who I don't know that we can you say someone who needs no introduction. I mean, you can say that about Peter Mansbridge, but he's back on our program because he has written a new book called Off the Record. But I like to think, and I think Fred would agree, that Peter's back because of the amazing fellowship that we had the first time around. He was a bit leery. He was a bit wary. But he went away like a lot of Humble and Fred first timers. Yeah, go ahead and eat. He went away like a lot of first timers thinking, you know what? Those two guys aren't as big a pricks as I thought they were. And so welcome back. Author, raconteur.
That's exactly how I felt.
That's right. He went away and then someone said, hey.
I woke up this morning thinking, you know what? Why am I doing this?
Yeah. You and me.
I put myself through
this. You and me both, Pete. Well, other than the fact that I'm from Moose Jaw, I think you grew up in Saskatoon, did you not?
Ish. Really, but I did pass through Saskatoon a few times, and Moose Jaw was, of course, when I was based in Regina, Moose Jaw was our actual television station, so I had to go there every day to Moose Jaw, that back and forth down that highway between Regina and Moose Jaw, where there's like one turn.
Exactly. At Belle Plaine, there's just that one little loop in the road. Well, that television station on Main Street in Moose Jaw was just a block or two from my father's menswear store. But that's old news. The news we want to get to, because I know
The Isle of Style in Moose Jaw.
Where the elite meet. I know we only have you for 15 minutes, so let's get right to it. A couple of quick things. The book is called Off the Record. What are we going to find out off the record that we didn't already know from all the on the record Peter Mansbridge there's been over the years?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, we all know that we see lots of stories and we bump into lots of stories in this business, but we end up telling only a fraction of it on the air. And usually the best parts are not on the air. You don't tell on the air the things that happen, you know, before an interview or after an interview or even while the interview was going on. So there's some of that. It's the stories behind the stories. You know, some of them are funny. Some of them are emotional. They all tell you a little bit about me. They tell you a little bit about journalism. They tell you a lot about Canada. But they're, you know, from around the world. I really enjoyed, you know, putting this group of stories together. I mean, most people think I'm a pretty serious guy because that's the way they saw me for all those years.
Not after the appearances on this show, they don't.
No, that's true. I mean, I was pretty serious about serious stuff. But I do have another side, and I think it shows through in this book.
Of all the people, like the world leaders, I mean, behind the scenes stuff, interviews you do, who would stick out as probably the most like real or nice guy or somebody you'd want to have a beer with?
You mean aside from you two guys?
Yes, aside from us. Exactly. Two. Yes.
Again, you know, through your career, we see the interviews, but again, stuff happens behind the scenes. Who did you come away with thinking, boy, there's a good guy?
Well, you know, I went into a lot of these interviews, especially with kind of famous people, thinking, you know, they've done these 100 times at least, and there's kind of a routine to it. And I'm not probably going to be overly impressed with them. And in, you know, in quite a few cases, that is what it was like. It, you know, doing the interview for them was just another, you know, thing they had to do. But I'll tell you, and, you know, I did, like you guys, a lot of interviews. I think I did somewhere around 20,000 when it was all old. But the one that stands out, who I had no idea what to expect, they were a famous person. It was Ringo. It was Ringo Starr.
Wow.
And he was a part of, you know, my childhood and to a degree.
Yeah, of course.
Too, I'm sure. And so I was expecting, oh, you know, Ringo's been interviewed a million times. This is going to be just a pain for him. But it wasn't. He was like a truly nice guy. He was funny. He loved telling stories about the old days. And, you know, some of them sit with me today. I mean, that interview was, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. But I still remember it like it was yesterday. It was in L.A. where he lives now. And he was great. And, you know, we had a certain amount of time because he was kind of on a book tour. But he honored that time, and he made it like every minute was worth it. And, you know, you rarely run into that, right?
Well, just so you know, for Fred and I, you're our Ringo. Okay. this is one of those things.
You know, I can understand that.
Yeah.
You know,
I know you think I'm being facetious, and maybe I am, but I will tell you it's true. When people ask us, you know, who have we enjoyed talking to or who's been on the show recently, when we say Mansbridge, they go, "Oh, really? Well, you two must be doing something right." I want to ask,
which I may interject, is a surprising answer for a lot of people. Just like the answer you just gave was surprising. I'm thinking of some president or some prime minister or some world leader, and you come up with Ringo, which is pretty cool.
No, exactly. I mean, we've interviewed everyone from Dave Grohl to Oswald's widow, but you, sir, are a big get for our show. I want to ask you about something that's come up a lot in our age group recently. Of course, everyone, Fred and I are about to celebrate 10 years of podcasting. You just started a podcast like, you know, every breathing citizen of the planet called The Bridge on SiriusXM. But we keep getting asked recently, because we've been interviewed for this anniversary, when do we want to retire? Would we retire? And we always give the same answer. If we weren't doing this for a living, we'd still be doing this for fun. Now, you obviously are being engaged because you're promoting a book. But do you miss, so two-part question, do you miss the daily grind of what you were doing? And how has podcasting maybe filled in some of those, you know, moments for you?
Right. Listen, I did what I did for 50 years, right? So, it took not long. Couple of weeks max to sort of move on from that, and I did, and I don't miss it. I love the people that I worked with, and still, you know, have relationships with many of them, and you know, we talk a little bit about the business, but you know, time has moved on for everybody. I started my podcast as just a fun thing to do at home, which I'm still doing it at home, and I'm doing it because it's fun. But suddenly, you know, a number of suitors became interested in grabbing the distribution rights for it. And I ended up making a deal with Sirius. I don't know how long that will last. You know, I mean, I don't want to work forever. I'm 73 now, which I know is ancient as far as you guys are. You know,
wait, listen, pal, we're catching up fast. Trust me.
but I, you know, it is part of the rush of staying kind of connected. And you know, but I mean, I do the whole thing by myself with a little help from my son. But you know, I book the guests and I, you know, I do all the technical end of things and send it off to Sirius every morning and away we go. But, you know, it takes a couple hours of my time each day and that's fine. That's enough.
No, yeah, and it's great to have something to look forward to every day, and sure, that's the way we are. A bit of a time checker. When did you leave the desk, CBC?
2017, summer of 2017.
So we were just into the Trump years. Would that be a reason why you might miss it on some level because of what's unfolded? And again, your perspective on this, Howard and I were talking about it earlier in the show. These are scary times for the United States. Any part of you wish that you were still on the desk so you can be part of this this, it's actually horrific what's going on, especially with what's going on now, Trump setting himself up again.
Yeah, I'll admit that those years when he was in office were pretty exciting news-wise. And that was one of the reasons I started doing the podcast, because I wanted to kind of vent a little bit on some of the things that I was witnessing in a way that I couldn't have done before.
Yeah, of course.
So I enjoyed that part. But, I would have loved to have interviewed Trump. I tried very hard to get him when he was running for president and in the first year of his presidency, the first 6 months of it anyway. But that, that didn't work out. But these are challenging times. So let's put it that way. And it's not just in the U.S. I mean, this move towards authoritarianism has happened in a number of different parts of the world. We've seen debates in our own country around things like vaccination, which have become very polarizing. There's some kind of warning signals there about the kind of, political scene we are developing ourselves. So I would be careful about saying, it's a U.S. thing.
So no, I agree. Mm-hmm. I think, Fred, not that you misspoke, but what's happening in the U.S. is a part of what's happening globally, but it's obviously our closest neighbor, etc. I wonder, it's easy to say these are unprecedented times, but I think everyone who's lived through moments of history could say that, it's part of the trick of time. But as a news person, someone that's covered politics and the world for 50 years, does this feel that way to you?
That we're going through a moment?
That this is unprecedented, or do you look at it through a sort of a prism of history and think, well, on the continuum of history, this is just another one of those periods of upheaval?
No, I look at this as a moment that is unprecedented, certainly in our lifetimes. I mean, there's a number of things you can add into that. There's the political scene, the polarization that's going on, which we've seen touches of in the past. But you add to that the complications of what has been an almost 2-year pandemic that has thrown the world, not just one region of it, but the whole world into a kind of topsy-turvy situation. That has at times set country against country, at times has set citizen against citizen, and we've witnessed that here ourselves. These are challenging moments. These are moments that our kids and grandkids and their kids will talk about all their life. It's been 100 years since we've seen anything like this, and it was nothing compared with what we're going through now. On all levels, from the challenge of dealing with the virus to the incredible and successful challenge of finding a vaccine in a very short period of time. These are unprecedented moments, but make no doubt they are a moment unlike anything we've witnessed before. And we've witnessed a lot, and so it's saying quite something.
And I think the story that still needs to be told, I mean, you talk about kids and how they're handling with it and everything. We really have no idea what the long-term effects may be of kids going through what they're going through, missing a couple of years of school, having to wear masks. Like, you see those pictures now of kids wearing masks in classrooms, and it's like something we could never have imagined just a short period of time. What effect is that having on them long-term?
Guys, it's almost as weird when you see that as pictures from the early 60s with kids crouching under their school desks for drills in case of... You had to do that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was a kid in the late 50s and early 60s and, still in school till the mid 60s. So I remember those days, and it was a sort of half horror, half fun, right? Mm-hmm. There's no fun in this, what we're going through now.
No, exactly.
And, for kids, the long-term impact, we can't judge. We don't know what it's going to be like.
Right.
It's the same for, healthcare workers, for doctors and nurses, what they're going through.
Yeah, what effect is going to have, what effect that, people protesting in front of, you know, hospitals. There's so many things, and again, I want to get a few things in before you're torn away to do some other mundane interview with some other knuckleheads. I've said this, Freddie and I have talked about this the last
nothing 20, like you guys.
Nothing.
Nothing like so, you. They don't stand. They don't stand at all on the same.
They don't. They don't have the guy. Just they don't have like
you
an,
own the knucklehead.
Exactly. They don't have some Chinese Andy Kaufman just sitting here looking at the guests, going, I don't know. But we've said this a bunch of times, Peter. I could never have imagined so many things since the pandemic began, the least of which seeing people protest healthcare workers that are trying to save their lives. Somebody, I heard this comic say, it's like a protest while the pilot's trying to land the plane. It's like, you know, so is there one thing that stands out for you? Like, man, I never thought I'd see the day when.
Well, you know, you touched on it with the healthcare workers.
Yes.
It was a year ago, a year and a half ago, in the opening days of the pandemic, where, we have two homes. We live in Stratford, Ontario, and we live here in Toronto. We have a small condo. Either my wife, Cynthia Dale, or I have business in Toronto, so we use this. But in those days, those early days, we'd be out on the front porch in Stratford or on the balcony here in Toronto cheering every night at 7 o'clock or 7:30. And what we were cheering for? Healthcare workers. They were the heroes of our communities, and justifiably so, and still are today. And yet here we are, you know, a short year and a half later, and you're seeing, in some cases, it's a minority, but nevertheless, they're a vocal minority demonstrating against healthcare workers. It's stunning. Like, who would have thought that?
Yeah.
Everybody has a right to protest, but my God, pick your targets.
For me, it's the conflation, if you will, of seeing some of these anti-vaxxers with the yellow stars on their jackets and shirts. And I think, wow, I could never have imagined that 20 months ago when I'd heard about this virus from China. You know, there's just so many of those touch points where you go, we're really living in some kind of zombie virus movie. And every so often, some new characters appear.
Listen, we've all been impacted by this, and it's affected all of our, judgments on various issues and various people. And for some people, they take it to the extremes. And as I said a number of times, and you said, this is a challenging moment, but it is a moment. You know, we will get through this, but the lasting impact will be lasting. And for our descendants, they'll always point back to this period. That's why I encourage people to write diaries.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
We'll go to that diary generations down the road and say, this is actually what it was like in 2020, mm-hmm. 2021. The way we try to do with the, with the flu that impacted 100 years ago, we look for those stories. Well, we've got great stories to tell here right now. Doesn't feel like it in the moment, but, history deserves our writing of what happened through this period, as opposed to somebody 20, 30 years down the road trying to tell us what happened.
On a lighter note, I know you're a passionate sports fan. How did you handle Sunday with the Blue Jays being eliminated?
Well,
both teams winning in the ninth inning to eliminate the Jays.
I handled it all right because the Jays on the final weekend did everything they had to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they won. And they won happily. And they looked like a team that was kind of together. And we've missed that in certain other sports in the last few years. But they did everything they needed to do to have the opportunity of winning. So it was unfortunate. When you look at that team, we've got good times still ahead. Yeah. I'm a huge Leaf fan. I see that we whipped those Habs last night.
Well, no, but I was going to say that the reason you were able to handle Sunday is because the Leafs are the vaccination for misery for Toronto sports fans. It's like, oh yeah, some misery, disappointment. Yeah, yeah, I'm vaccinated by it. I got the Leaf vax for that.
But we'll forget
when they start winning a playoff series.
Winning a playoff series.
That'll happen this year. Mark my words.
Okay, Ben Crenshaw.
Yeah, two different feelings. When the Leafs lost to Montreal in the spring, it was that empty pit in your stomach, empty feeling. With the Jays losing, it's what you said. It's like, well, there's a lot of optimism. For some reason, not as much with the Leafs, from my perspective, obviously, compared to you. But, yeah, a lot more to look forward to, I think, with the Jays than the Leafs.
Be positive.
Peter, that's what we're known for, our positivity. Peter Mansbridge, his book is called Off the Record. It's available as of yesterday wherever you get books. The Bridge is Peter's podcast, which is on SiriusXM. And I didn't realize until some moments ago that you're producing that thing every day. And when does it run on, or 4 days a week, or when does it run? And what channel is it on? What's that talk station? 168, I think. 167, Canada Talks.
167, Canada Talks. And it goes up at noon every day. You know, I've taken a couple of days off here to sell the book. It's Monday to Friday, 12 noon Eastern time.
Nice.
For it on SiriusXM. But then it also goes up at the same time. As a podcast, which you can get wherever you want. And I see again this week, it's number one in Canada's political podcasts. And that's
wow. Good for you. Well, listen, my friend, I'm not sure if somebody is going to come and take you away from us, but I know we had 15 minutes. That 15 minutes is up. I'll just say that again. You should know that you being on our show is a highlight for us. I'm not bullshitting you. We certainly appreciate your time. When you have more time and I can get one of these microphones to work consistently, we'd love to have you back anytime, okay?
You got it. It's always a treat to be on Humble and Fresh.
Sure it is. Now just tell your friends. Just don't tell the guys at Sirius that you were on with us. All right. There's Peter Mansbridge. The book is out. You can go check it out. It's called Off the Record, and he's on noon on Channel 167 on Sirius XM. Take care, sir.
Yeah, you too, guys.
Thanks, Peter.
What a nice man. And I think he really, really enjoys his time with us. Oh, he's still here. All right. And I keep forgetting he lives in Stratford, and he's right. Cool. And
if he says the Leafs are going to win playoff series this year, maybe that'll happen.
Well, I know one thing. That's our Gig Sky guest of the day. When traveling on selected airlines and routes, is it routes or routes? Do you say routes?
I think either is fine, huh?
When traveling on selected airlines and routes, you can get mobile data. Yes, you can, Phil. Don't screw around with this. Go to gigsky.com/aeromobile, aeromobile. To see the list of partner airlines from Gig Sky. See? I finally got it where it all lined up. Gig Sky guest of the day. Also want you to know that you can get your Gig Sky data plans for your travel needs. Things are starting to open up. Go to 190 countries and you'd still get Gig Sky service for Android or iOS. And affordable coverage is the result of this. Download the Gig Sky app today and enter the code HF2021. Boom, 97.3. Sorry, I just couldn't help it. $5 off your first plan or visit gigsky.com for more information. Fred. Fred and rhymes with shed.
Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. If you have a small business, go to chamberplan.ca today. Get a free quote. Believe us, this is doable. If you have a small business, you've thought about a benefits package to make your people feel more secure, make them feel like you care. It is doable. Chamberplan.ca. Get a free quote. There's a badge there. Let them know about your business, and you'll be given all sorts of options on the levels you can buy into, what kind of coverage you might want, you know, medical, prescriptions and dental and travel insurance, different types of therapy. It's all there. Many testimonials from small companies that have bought in and how it's worked for them. It really is. It's a great story. 30,000 Canadian businesses part of this. They've been around for 40 years. The concept is beautiful. It's the smart thing to do for your people. Stable, again, 40 years. And it really is easy to sign up. Take the time today. Chamberplan.ca.
You mentioned how uncomfortable your pants were at the beginning of the show, and I was not bored by that story. That was a fascinating story. In fact, what I'm going to do later is I'm going to go and listen to it again. But Duer, Duer.ca, that's what we're doing. And they say they're the world's most comfortable pants. You will never want... Honestly, I don't want to get up because this microphone's working right now for a few seconds. So, but I can tell you, I put on these... they're the relaxed denim. I don't care. You know, they're called performance denim relaxed. And they look like jeans. They move like jeans. They just don't feel like jeans. They're just comfortable. And you can get them now. Go to check it out at Duer.ca. There's the performance denim, the no sweat pants slim, which you got. And I'm going to be honest, you ever get that, not FOMO, but, you know, you go to a restaurant, Rachel's so good at ordering, you get a bit of jealousy about what the other person ordered. Well, I love my denims, but I saw what you ordered, and I thought, I should get those, too. Because Dahl picked those out for you, these no, what are they called, the no-sweat pants slim. Do you understand what I'm talking about right now?
Yes.
I don't feel like you're following this. Anyway. I was jealous of the pants you got, and I'm going to order some myself. And how? And so can you, by the way. You can get the pants we're wearing. You can get them at a discount. Okay, it's very simple. You just go to Duer.ca, and you put in the promo code HumbleAndFred15 for 15% off your next order. HumbleAndFred15.
You know, Peter said he tried to get an interview with... with Trump.
Yeah.
I guess probably in 16 or...
Well, then he said he tried to get one in the first 6 months of his presidency.
Yeah, and I wonder what that... when that comes across your desk, when somebody from Canada in that position, you know, our most notable newscaster at the time, comes across your desk, how that's handled. And do they look at it from the perspective of, you know... Canada tends to be more of a, what'll you say,
liberal
country.
Yeah. Yeah,
Let's not go near this guy. Interesting.
Yeah.
Or is it just, you know, we're such a little speck to them that it would be, I don't have time for that.
It's hard to say. You know, I was rereading an interview that Trump did this past spring with some reporter from a magazine, and the way they described, you know, how he sits in the lobby of Mar-a-Lago. And I think what Donald Trump needs is just somebody. He loves people interviewing him, even if he thinks they have an agenda, like because he thinks he'll win them over. Mm-hmm. So however it was presented to him in 15, 16 mm-hmm. or 17, he was probably like, yeah, I mean, he's not afraid of anyone because he thinks that, you know, he can charm anyone that he comes across.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just sending a note to Dan Duran to do the news now. Phil, did you see we had Peter Mansbridge on the show?
Yes, we have. Apparently, he's a great newsman.
Did you see that? He's 73. He looks great for... I don't know what that means anymore. He looks great for 73, but he does. He looks very... you know, fit and well put together and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
You were mentioning earlier the vaccine and, well, we were. Remember, last week, maybe the week before, that Josh Archibald kid from the Edmonton Oilers?
He's the one that wasn't going to get vaccinated and only play at home.
Third or fourth line, you know, all his tweets and his quips about. Yeah. Turns out he has a heart condition now.
Okay.
And it's because he had COVID. So the whole time he's talking about, I'm not getting the vax, he had COVID and really didn't know about it.
Oh, did he?
And now he has this heart condition that may affect his career,
uh-oh.
His life for the rest.
That's too bad.
But you were talking about those radio hosts, right-wing radio hosts, right? That Stern was talking about. And it's just, you get so many of these stories now.
I know.
That these guys were, you know, they took this great noble stand, you know, it's my body, fuck off, end up in this situation.
Yeah. By the way, that...
Mm-hmm.
that phrase, my body, fuck off, it really is what the women, what the woman's anti, the woman's pro-abortion movement should just be, my body, comma, fuck off, exclamation mark. That should be on billboards around the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so funny. It's my body, my whatever. What's their phrase? My body, my choice until it comes to, you know, abortion. Then it's your body, my choice. Anyway, Dan Duran's here. Dan Duran, of course, one of the senior fellows at the Humble and Fred Institute. We always appreciate.
So I'm a senior fellow.
You're a senior fellow.
Yeah.
What do you make of the fact that just I have to keep going back and forth to microphones? One will work for a few seconds, then it craps out, and then this other one. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that needs looking at, but I do, appreciate I appreciate how you've behaved so professionally this morning.
I was depressed. I'm not going to lie to you. I was depressed there because I was really ready for a good show today. And then I just got a little bit discouraged. Discouraging.
Well, I know. I tried to encourage you to carry on earlier.
I know,
you took that to heart because we're still carrying on here.
I'm continuing to carry.
And you've risen above to a point. You know, your depression has been...
It's somewhat lifted. My spirits were lifted.
Yeah. There you go. All right. What do you got going on today? Something else to look forward to? You got a golf game? Oh, well, there you go.
All right, here we go. I tell you what I'm looking forward to right now. This. Here we go.
Dan Duran, the anchorman, comes. As for credentials, he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now live from his trailer, where soon his neighbor Fred will finally relent and move back to the city from trailer land. What will you do when Fred's gone? Will you be missing him?
I'll be lonely for a week, and then I'll move to my own winter lake experience.
Can't wait to see that place, man.
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
It's going to be where Dan was living on a lake last winter. So jealous. Amazing. And you're going to be on the same lake, but in a different domicile. Is that correct?
Exactly. Okay. For a little variety. Yes, a different domicile, a different view of the same lake.
Fantastic.
It's going to be nice seeing it freeze over, the sounds and the quiet.
Hey, Fred, are you looking forward to another winter of Dan reporting on the progress of the freezing and then the freezing and then the progress of the thawing? Because I am.
Yeah, and remember, he builds like an ice bar.
Of course he does.
Right in the middle of the winter there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
That's part of his plan. And he actually put skates on a couple of times. And, you know.
I was lucky enough to go for a walk on Dan's lake. Rachel and I and Dan's friend, partner. I don't know what you call her. And it was just fantastic. It's fascinating to walk on a lake in the wintertime. That was a...
Yeah.
I'd not done that. Anyway, let's get right to the... I guess, are you a little freaked out that you're following Peter Mansbridge? Is that weird for you?
Yeah, in a way. I was surprised he was going to be on the show today.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Another reason that you've carried out the show has been quite fantastic so far.
No, it's a good show.
Go.
Could have been a great show, though.
Can you imagine a Canadian made-for-TV movie about Peter Mansbridge and you get the part to play him?
Yeah,
that'd be cool. Something?
If you were given the part of Peter Mansbridge, would you be okay having to, for the part, you know, take away some of your luxurious Dan Duran?
Remove my part? Yeah, sure, I would. Absolutely.
Okay.
For the opportunity,
I'd love to see
play
that.
A guy like him.
That would be cool. All right. What about some stories today, Daniel?
Today is National Noodle Day. To celebrate, be nice to your noodle. Say hello to Mustard Wine. The fine people at Kraft Heinz, who own Grey Poupon Mustard, decided to release a limited time wine called Le Moutarde Vin from Grey Poupon.
Le Moutarde Vin.
It's a full-bodied wine infused with Grey Poupon mustard seeds and uses Viognier grapes from southern France.
You wouldn't think something that has poop in its title would be so fancy. Hey, I know. Let's call it Grey Poupon. Poop on what? Poupon.
It has bright hints of spice and pronounced citrus and floral characteristics, making it ideal to pair with charcuterie boards or sandwiches.
or just, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. Drink it or pour it on anything.
Excuse me, Fred, was that poop on thing too immature for a highbrow comedian like yourself? Was that,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're far above
you
that.
No, right? Like, I don't like the poopy humor. You know don't that.
Really.
So when you go off on your poop stories,
my poop stories, yeah, back. I know you do.
I just lean back. Yeah.
It's a, you know what? You had the same face that I had when you were telling me about your pants you had to throw out.
You know, I built this 40-year career avoiding that kind of thing. So,
no, I know you.
You know, please respect that.
I do. Thank I do respect you and your career. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Dan, do you have any more poop jokes and we can get
no
Fred?
More poop jokes.
No? Okay.
I did read in the news yesterday that there's a, you know, a 5,000-year-old toilet that they excavated in, I don't know, Jerusalem or something like that.
Hmm.
And it still had skid marks.
Oh! Oh!
Wait a minute.
It's a great comedian with the poop. Jeez. He still had skid marks.
Yeah, all right.
Jesus Christ, man. How many years was it? 5,000?
Yeah, Dan like has that, no yeah. details. I love that story. Did you hear the story? Some toilet 5,000 years ago in some place they found, I don't know.
You know, on the subject of mustard, you know, I love trying different mustards, but I always come back to the basic, you know, like French's mustard. I don't know.
I like, I went through a grainy mustard phase for a while, but I'm over that.
Yeah, I don't, it's interesting. Don't get me wrong, nothing against them. I enjoy different types of mustard. But when it really counts, I reach for the traditional.
No,
for whatever reason.
I don't think we're getting you wrong. I don't think we think you're out in front of the mustard factory protesting anti-mustard. Oh, you know, Fred's in charge of the anti-mustard faction. No, I don't.
There's lots of fine mustards out there.
No doubt.
Many different approaches to the mustard.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you who makes a nice mustard is this place, Farm Boy. They've got their own proprietary. It's kind of like a, I think it's a garlic kind of honey mustard thing, and it's quite nice. I had it once and I thought, oh, this is great, and I used it for the entire jar and I've never bought it again.
Yeah, I'm not big on the honey mustard personally.
Yeah. Here's something I wanted to bring up with you too and Phil. I've been in the last 2 or 3 weeks probably in 4 or 5 restaurant situations, and the novelty of the anti-vax and the vaccination receipts and all that sort of seems to be like no big deal. But I have noticed this. Did I bring it up the other day that I've had several first time, maybe I did think bring this up on Monday or Tuesday, about several first time wait staff? I think I did. Have you guys encountered that? Well, because the people are on their first and second shift. It happened like 2 or 3 restaurants in a row.
That happened when I was out east, as a matter of fact. She had worked before as a server, but she hadn't worked for 5 years or something, and it was her first shift when she was
working. Well, I apologize if I brought this up the other day, but I did want to ask Dan as well. But basically, it's like there was this a bunch of people left the service industry because of COVID. I think we did discuss this. I can't remember, Phil, because you weren't here, but
it was probably the labor shortage thing, right?
But yeah, it was the idea that there's a labor shortage, and not just in, you know, when we were up north this summer, I don't know what it's like where you guys go, but many people were talking about the fact you can't get anyone to do sort of everyday work. You can't get people to do work around your cottage. You can't get people to, you know, the service industry has dried up, and I've had several three restaurants in a row where the person serving, again, I don't see gender, the person serving mentioned this was their first or second shift in the restaurant, and, you know, just be patient. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. But I think I did bring it up, Dan. I don't think I brought it up with you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, during the summer, I mentioned that restaurant, the Old Bridge Inn, where, you know, I was in the presence of Neil Young and didn't even know it. But me and Darren, our buddy Darren, we were urging Dan Duran that maybe he should become a server at that restaurant. Can you imagine?
The tips, man.
Can you imagine if word get out?
Yeah.
Not only would you go to this great restaurant where these superstars dine, but you could be served by him? He would make a killing.
Yeah, the tips would be insane.
this good-looking guy coming up with that fabulous voice asking you what you want. And
oh my God. I would just, here's what I would do if I was a patron. When he walked over and took my order, I'd give him a tip right there. I'd just be like, here's 20 bucks. You're so good.
I don't know if my skill set would handle that.
You should do this when you come over to the table, hand out an 8x10 of yourself.
That's just what I'm saying. It would be perfect.
Oh, my God.
You'd be like networking.
Jesus. Oh. You'd be like, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Old Bridge Inn. I'm Dan Duran. Here's a picture of me hosting E-Talk. Yes. You should do this. If you'd like me to continue to be your server, that'll be a $20 a person fee. And that doesn't include the tip at the end.
Dan didn't listen to us.
No. You know what? We do the best we can to try and help our friend Dan Duran.
Thank you very much. That toilet, by the way, was 2,700 years old.
Okay, so well, good to know.
Factor on there.
That toilet. So you and that toilet went to school together. Dan Duran's news. Thank you, Dan. Brought to you by Health Gauge. Of course, very excited about the information. Yesterday, I walked a different golf course than I normally play, and I was curious. It's one of those courses that I really like playing, but the distances between the tees and the greens or the greens was just... Some of them were like a half a kilometer. So I looked at my watch, my health gauge. I did 12,000 steps. A typical round of golf is around, 10 or 11, depending on how much. But I was fascinated by it. Maybe you will be too. Check out your calories burned or your blood pressure. Whether you want to set up your app so that it alerts you when you reach a certain temperature or you need to drink water. The goal of Health Gauge is, as you know, providing digital solutions to promote and improve healthcare outcomes, and now you can get your Health Gauge. I did send a note to Health Gauge yesterday. Some of our listeners are trying to use the promo code, and I just wanted to make sure it was working. Humble Fred 15 gets you 15% off at healthgauge.com. We'll get to the nibs here in a minute, but first, let's talk a little bit about what's happening. You were mentioning to Mansbridge about the agony of defeat for the Blue Jays. So now where are we at, Bodog Man, with the odds on sports today?
Well, the Bo Sox beat the Yankees last night, I believe 6-2. So the Yanks, that excruciating path to the playoffs for the Yankees last one game. The way baseball is set up, that's the way it is. But if you are a sports fan and you like to wager on sports, bodog.eu/sports is where to go. You can bet on all the baseball playoffs, including tonight, where the Dodgers are favored over the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League wild card. Cards pay $190 to win. The Dodgers. Would you call that a heavy favorite? But definitely favored to win. The Thursday night football game. What is it? Wednesday. So Thursday night football game has the Rams in Seattle. Rams a 3-point pick. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker or casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. Go to bodog.eu/sports to have some fun.
And speak.
Bodog.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
Bodog.eu/sports.
I apologize. I thought you were done. And speaking of one of our favorites, look at this man. Look at this angel with his new hair. Look at you. That's Tim Niblett. He's a retirement
wonderful
Sherpa.
Man.
Yeah, he's a wonderful.
Wonderful man.
Yeah, he is wonderful.
Is that the segment today? We're just going to look at me.
Yeah, your mic isn't on. I'm having my own mic issues, but...
no, it's fine, and I checked it, and we were all good.
Okay. Can you just click it on and click it off, because you're speaking... It's fine. I mean, I don't mind. It's you, and you're a sweet man, so you can talk into your computer all you want, but that's what we're hearing. Tim Niblett, of course, the background of Tim's Zoom screen is our home course, Glencairn, which is such a great shot of the clubhouse.
Oh, you know what? It looks, it's majestic.
Yeah, it looks like you're like a castle.
It almost, yeah, I was going to say it almost looks like something in Britain that you can see.
Let me hear you now, Timmy. Tim.
Yeah, I just unplugged it and plugged it back in.
There you go.
There you are. There you are.
All right. So, as you might not know, we represented Glencairn at Heron Point yesterday for Inner Club and emerged victorious against about eight other courses. So, that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, that is cool, man. Congratulations. And, you know, listen, a win's a win and go. What's our team? Griffins or who are we? The
Team Griffin. Sure. Absolutely.
I apologize for not knowing, but I congratulate you, Captain. This is the captain, by the way. You don't even know who the captain is. He's the captain now.
Why weren't you part of that?
Well, I was asked to be, but I was golfing with my, they needed a last minute replacement. I tried to qualify for it, but I didn't. I was beat out by, there's different categories of players, so I tried to qualify in my category, and I think I came second or third in the qualifying. Anyway, I got a call from the guys on Monday because somebody crapped out, and I couldn't join you because Brother David was in town, and I was fetting him for golf.
Well, now we're up to speed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is where you say...
You would have won by even more, I think, if that were the case, no. Right?
Who was the player that couldn't play? Was it Gortner or someone like Gortner?
No, Gortz was out there. He's an awesome, awesome man, right? Great guy. And no, Brian Penner had work getting the way, so he had to bail out there.
Well, there you go. See, I was going to replace a 22 handicap, and I think I...
Ouch.
Anyway, yeah, see, I'm not a wonderful man. Diversification of assets, though, in accumulation mode is vital. What about when taking income? I don't know what any of those words mean.
Well, thankfully somebody here does.
So, yes.
Yes. Well, you know, last month was actually one of the first negative months for quite a while, and people found out if their asset allocation mix wasn't as good, kind of the hard way or whatever. It was only a percent or two in most decent portfolios, but, you know, it's just been so good for so long, people are not used to that, right? It's hilarious. All people whose portfolios go up $100,000 since the last time I talked to them, and you know, barely a word, right? They'll talk more about the Blue Jays missing the playoffs.
Yeah,
it goes down $5 on a Tuesday, and they're like, "What the hell's going on? What's happening?"
Do you gently? I'm sure those conversations are why you're so good at your job. When somebody does that, do you sort of gently say, "You know, the last few months to a year or so have been amazing." That 10 or 5% loss isn't really a big loss.
We try to do the perspective thing wherever possible, you know, absolutely. So what that kind of ties into is when people are in retirement stage, if you've accumulated only an RSP as an example, right? I mean, they're a pretty tempting thing. We get the tax return and maybe take a trip on it, at least in the good old days, or, you know, buy some wine or whatever we do with it. But when time comes that you're taking income out, if all you've got is RRSPs that turn into RIFs, you've got your CPP, you got your OAS, every single penny you take out in income is going to be taxed at the highest rate possible. So just like you need to diversify your portfolio, you really need to diversify your income sources for later on in life.
Which is when did the tax-free savings account, when was that introduced?
Great question. It's $75,500 you can put into it now, Fred, or, you know, could have put into it cumulatively. It's been about $6,000 a year on average. So I'd say 12 to 13 years ago now.
So from your perspective, what would you, like in the early years when I started investing, I mean, it just didn't exist. What would you tell somebody now? As far, what's the better deal, the tax break now or the no tax within the tax-free savings account? Or is that, again, diversification, have some of each?
Great question, right? It depends on the situation, obviously, but it's a fantastic tool that we've been able to benefit from a little bit, you know, people of our age and will in the decades to come. But yeah, if you're like 20 or 30 or whatever years of age, and you can have that many decades of tax-free growth, That's incredibly powerful. So you definitely want to, you know, one way you could kind of have the best of both worlds. You make your RSP contribution and you take your refund and you put it into your TFSA. Then you got to, you know, work twice.
So maybe you could just explain to people what amount are you allowed in your RSP versus the amount allowed in a TFSA?
TFSA, super straightforward. Thankfully, Howard, it's 6,000 each year. Currently, it's vacillated a little bit over the years. Was as high as 10 back in the day. So again, cumulatively, 75,005 can have been contributed. And then the RSP is a function of your income, right? I mean, the more you make, the larger your room is. Now, if you're part of a pension plan, which exists less and less nowadays, but there's what's called a pension adjustment, and that can reduce. You two people making $100,000, if one's in a pension, one isn't, they'd of course have different RSP limits as well.
Okay, it's all about great conversations with somebody who knows what he's talking about. Tim Niblett, tim.niblett@raymondjames.ca. At least sit down and have a conversation like we are. I mean, even in this short time today, we've learned something. And there's, I mean, one of the things too to remember, as you said, you know, it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good sledding the last couple of years in the markets and the last couple of months. You know, I asked you this last week about the October traditional time in investing, but a good time to sit down with Tim. Always available for a second opinion, a second conversation. Maybe it's not now, but sometime in the future, you might come back and avail yourself of this this man. Sorry, that mic just stopped working. Just quickly though, I like the hoodie on you. It's very cool. Yeah. You've got a casual coolness to you today.
Thank you.
You know, not everyone can pull the hoodie off, but you're doing it. Are you wearing a hoodie to the golf, to Ladies Day today?
No, I will not. It's a little chilly upstairs today. You know, I'm not used to this temperature here. So it's a retro gator top that I can't really show you properly. Oh, okay. But, you know, it's functional and it's fashionable. It's not quite doer clothing, but it's pretty darn cool.
Well, we're going to hook you up some of that. By the way, I did mention you the other day on the show. We were talking about going to Freddie. What's the name of that stadium in Michigan that holds 100 and
Michigan Stadium, the big house.
Right. And we were mentioning that you were the only person we knew that had gone to a bigger stadium, and that your experience was actually, you know, not so bad. Although, at your stadium at Gator Field, is it called Gator Field?
Sorry. It would be Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, of course.
Benny Hill, love Benny Hill.
Exactly.
At your stadium, were they individual seats, or were they like a bench seating?
It depends on the section. I don't know what the ratio is. There are some individual, and then there's definitely the just kind of the long bench things. But you're pretty close to people, of course, in any of them. But it's very open, and it's outside. And thankfully, I'm 2 for 2, right? I went to two different games, 89,000 plus, and no COVID symptoms going on. So that's exciting times.
Okay, well, you stay healthy.
Yeah, that's usually the main difference between a pro stadium and a college stadium. The college stadiums tend to have a lot of bench seating.
Okay.
Where they can pack them in.
Well, again, always a great conversation with Tim.Niblett at RaymondJames.ca. And as always, the last word to you, sir.
No, great as always. Love listening to Peter Mansbridge this morning. I don't know if it's quite as good as Dan's weather or Anchorman's song, but both very entertaining. So enjoy and profit all.
All right, I'll see you soon. Have a great day today, my friend. And congratulations, Gryffindor. Take care. There's Tim Niblett. Once he's gone here, I think we're up to date with everything we needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Phil's saying, yeah. Okay. Tomorrow morning, I'll tell you about a story. I was invited to a friend's 60th birthday party get-together, or, you know, it's just like people dropping in as such, and I want to run some information by you about what maybe I should do. Oh, wow, we got a couple of comments. What's that?
This is at someone's home you got to go to?
No, yeah, I'll explain it to you.
Interesting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yesterday on, pardon me, sir?
I feel for you.
That's a weird decision I'm making. But
it's not surprise, is it?
No.
They're the most disgusting. But anyway, go ahead.
Here's
surprise.
Somebody. Ha! Ha! You know, I can...
so awkward. That person walks in, everybody yells surprise, and it's just awkward. It always is awkward. And you see it in the person's eye. They wish that it hadn't have just happened.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if early on in the surprise... In the surprise world, it was like, hey, this is what they worked great once and maybe twice, but eventually it just became one of these things and no one really likes. Or is it just you and I that hate this kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. I did it for Delise on her 18th birthday, a little bit different then. But then she asked me never to do it again, and I've never myself had a surprise party.
Mm-hmm. Phil put together a... the voice of Paul Schubert, the guy that was laughing like a maniac on our show the other day. Hang on. So that's actually him laughing. And this is what Phil did. Phil put this together. It's kind of a loop of that. Anyway, there's been some reaction to it. This is from Scott McKenzie on Facebook Messenger. It's Facebook, our messages on our site. Hey, fellas, he says, I fear you may have been had by Schubert. Hearing your recounting of his appearance on today's podcast as a listener sounded to me that he had cut together some laughing and coughing sound effects and was doing a bit. Or is this all you guys together in on the bit? As always, loyal and loving you. So maybe Scott got it mixed up that maybe he didn't actually... I can't tell if he heard Schubert or he heard Phil's clipping together of Schubert.
Yeah, I don't know. Phil, when Howard just played that, did it sound weird to you?
Yeah, it sounded a bit...
like underwater?
Yeah.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
I'm wondering...
if what?
That sounds... To us, it just sounds like a little warble underwater or something. I'm wondering if the problem is your computer. Now, because it has to run through your computer. When you just played that for us, Howard, we're not hearing it properly.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's all like a.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing.
Nothing like a laugh.
No, I understand that.
It's like a raccoon ejaculating.
Okay, thank you, Phil. you're talking about the microphone problem, or because I had the microphone problem before I even turned my computer on today.
Oh, I thought that. Unit had to run through your computer.
Yes, it does actually have to run through my computer.
Well, I'm wondering maybe if it's
if I should but reboot the computer. So what you're saying when you hear this,
what?
it doesn't sound good.
You would never know that was a laugh. You would never know that was Schubert.
Yeah,
right?
But dude, I've been playing music on this computer all day. So does that sound like music to you?
Sounds like shit.
Well, that just happened then, because I've been playing... Are you saying the music all morning has sounded like shit to you?
Well, I really haven't noticed, but what you just played, the music and Schubert... Here we are having another technical meeting on the show.
Yeah, but the show's over now. Okay, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We will stop the show now, because it's end of show time anyway.
It's home time.
End of show time.
Okay, Kenty.
Show time, man. End of show. It's end of show time now, and I will reboot the computer, and then we'll try a little test after we come back. I'll come back and see if it works. So you're saying that when you hear this music now, it doesn't sound good. Really? Not even the great Steely Dan. Seriously. Well, maybe that's a clue. Maybe, Dan, did you hear that? Fred maybe just figured something out. Maybe it is the computer.
It sounds like Squirmy Dan.
Okay.
Rather than Steely Dan.
Because you can't, if you're going through that box, it has to run through your computer.
Yes, it does. Well, yes, it does.
Maybe there's a soundboard problem on the computer.
Well.
You should try another computer tomorrow. Do you have one?
I do not, no. Because I gave it to Dan Duran.
Right.
But, you know, Phil, why not just try the old shut the computer down, reboot the computer and see
Yes, because that could be a thing, actually, because if you leave your computer on too long, you don't shut it down or restart it,
that happens. It's all fucked. Yeah. You know, because this machine that we're using, why would one input work, one input doesn't? And I've been, as you've seen, I've gone back and forth between these two microphones.
And it could be as simple as like a misconfiguration on your system preferences or something. It's like something must have changed.
The way those Focusrite, those little box, is yours a Focusrite as well?
No, it's called a Zoom PodTrack P8.
Yeah, the way, you know, the chances of them screwing up so early in their life is like...
I agree.
Not likely.
No, you know? I agree. So,
but it might be something else.
Well, it's got... Here's the thing. It may have something to do with the way it interfaces with my computer, because I was on a Zoom call yesterday with Rachel and the mic's crapped out as well. Anyway, thanks for your patience, everyone. And please understand, it's not our... I know we have had technical issues and such. It really isn't... Honestly, we don't like it any more than you do. I think we like it less than you do. And sorry, what's that, sir?
But you can suck us.
You can suck us. That's nice. Well, I guess we're back to being immature. Do you have any more? Yeah. Do you have any more great skid humor that you'd like to just leave us with? Huh? Yeah, you're so far above this. Phil, do your best.
I know.
This episode of the Dueling Great Poupons is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, the Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, and our newest sponsor, Doer, D-U-E-R, the presenting sponsor of Humble and Fred's 10th anniversary podcast. We stream to the planet from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfred.com. That was a good